You want to know how to build a list of renewals from your contacts on Facebook? Well, today's guest, Lyndon Crane, shares exactly how he did that. And keep in mind, he is 23 years old, first year in the mortgage business, and the guy is absolutely crushing it. So some of the things we talk about, how he called every single contact in his phone over a two-week period, how he's leveraged voice memos and videos to get the most out of his networking events. The guy is a go-getter. There's no question. He's in the top 20% of mortgage brokers with DLC in his first year. He's a city councilor. And I've said to him, like, are you going to be president or prime minister by the time you're 26? Like, what are you going to do with it's just amazing to see what he's been able to accomplish. And the script that he shares for how he gets these contacts to give him renewals is awesome. And so you're going to want to copy that. Also, he's got a podcast called Coffee with Craner. And at the end of when we turn off the recorder, I actually shared with him how I would monetize that for his mortgage business, because that part, he's used it to grow a network, but he hasn't used it to actually get mortgages yet. So we talk about it. I'm going to share with you how I would do it. And if so, if you have a podcast or thinking about it, you're going to want to listen to that. Before we jump into this episode, I want to give a shout out to our title sponsor, Finmo. Finmo is a Canadian mortgage application, document collection, submission platform designed specifically for Canadian borrowers. It's very easy to use. So it's got great features like smart docs. It knows what documents your client needs based on how they fill out the app. It's got smart submission notes. It pulls key data from the app. And it's connected to Lender Spotlight, which is the best tool for searching rates and guidelines. Check them out at lendesk.com/Finmo. Also, I forgot to mention, I'm your host, Scott Peckford, and this is the I Love Mortgage Brokering podcast. And we've been doing this for almost 10 years now, million plus downloads. I absolutely love talking to interesting people. And I am always learning, even from somebody like Lyndon, who's been doing this for like 5 minutes practically. And I'm like, I'm blown away at this guy's drive and ambition. So have a listen to this episode. And don't forget, at the end, I'm going to share with you what I would do with the podcast to make it drive more mortgage business. Hey, Lyndon, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Scott. Appreciate you having me.
So tell me a little bit about yourself and how you got into the mortgage biz.
Yes. So in 2022, I was running for council down here in Amherstburg, Ontario. Population size is about 23,000. And after I got elected, I was in my MBA program a few months into it, and it wasn't good timing for me trying to get a graduate program and being elected. So I said, hey, let's find a job that is comfortable with my council schedule, gives me that flexibility and the ability to have unlimited income. So I jumped into that. Our broker of record actually had reached out to me probably in 2020 asking me to be a mortgage agent. I said, no, I'm going to graduate school. And then fast forwarding a few years later, I said, hey, let's revisit that conversation. We had dinner. I wrote my exam in a week, and then January 1st, I was licensed mortgage agent of 2023.
The barrier to entry is pretty low when you look at the other stuff that you're doing. It's like, oh, this is pretty easy to get into, but which unfortunately means that it's also the success rate is, people assume because it's easy to enter, it's actually easy business, but it's not. You've been having some good success. So I want to, you're only 23. Somebody can't see, you're sitting in a Tesla, which is the first time I've ever done an interview with somebody sitting in their car, which is cool. And, but you managed to get elected to your local, the town council. And,
yes,
you're only 22 years old or something. So tell me how that came about, because that's not something that's an unusual path already before we even get into the mortgage stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I was involved in student government in university. I was a chair of our student union at the University of Windsor. And then fast forwarding a few years into university, I landed a job at the city of Windsor in the mayor's office. So the city of Windsor has between 200,000 to 300,000 people, residents in the community. And I was working there, fell in love with municipal government, public service, and decided, hey, I want to try this in Amherstburg in my own community. We were missing a younger voice, and I figured, well, if I lose, I lose. If I win, that's great. And I just ran.
Right, and you got it. And so you also have a podcast. So tell me about this, because part of we were talking before we turned the recorder. This has really worked well for you to build your network and expand, the relationships and stuff. So walk me through that.
Big time. It wasn't something that I thought. I'm going to use this to network with people. It was in the middle of the pandemic, everything shut down, and I was used to going to conferences through university. And I figured, instead of going to a conference and meeting people, why not bring these people on stage on my computer and spread that message that leader has across a larger platform? And decided to do that. I also wanted to practice my public speaking skills during the pandemic. I didn't have a job because most places were shut down. So I started from there, and it's been about 4 years, 135 guests. And I've been able to speak with CEOs and leadership professionals across all industries. So I'm building that network organically that way. And having a 15, 20 minute conversation with an executive that most people don't have the opportunity to have. But instead, I'm sharing their story and I'm providing value to that guest.
Right. Yeah, it's a great idea. I mean, it's kind of the same way that I started out of mortgage brokering back in the day. I didn't want to go to mortgage conferences to talk to people over beer and about their business. And so that's how this happened. Same idea. And I didn't do it at your age, though. So you managed it. You started this podcast, you built your network. You get the job at the city, the mayor for the mayor of Windsor. And then that next, you transition into getting this position at Amherstburg. You said community or like on the town council?
Town of Amherstburg. Yep.
Town, Amherstburg. And then, so one last thing on the show before we move on. So how do you get, how do you find guests and get them to book and stuff? Like, how do you do that?
It's all cold, like cold emails. One guest that I got on, which was guest number 100, Barry Zeckelman, who has one of the largest steel and tube manufacturing businesses in North America. It took me about 3 years to get him on the show. So it was being persistent and consistent via email. And, you know, the odd time somebody would introduce me to a guest, but I was building this guest list of people that I've had on the show where when I'm approaching those other high level executives and I've had their friends on or I've had people they know, they're more inclined to actually sit down and have an interview with me.
Right. Yeah. Well, once you get past the tipping point and they see other people, it's like, okay, it kind of lends a bit of credibility. And so have you been able to trace a direct line from that podcast to any clients yet? Or is it mostly just building out your network and your reputation?
I think it's more reputation and network. I haven't seen a direct correlation yet where one of my guests called me up for a mortgage. Hasn't been like that, but I'm hoping they do. But I really try to make sure both are separate almost. And the mortgage conversation can happen organically. I'm not having an interview and saying, hey, thanks for joining me. Also, I'm a mortgage agent. Can you get residential lending through me? It's just an added value that if they find that out after the show, then great.
Right. Okay. So you're just leading with value, which is the way to go. And then from there, people will find you. So then tell me about your first year. How did it go in your first year in the mortgage business in terms of like, yeah, how'd that go for you?
It went well. I guess it was, I'm told from people that I know in the industry that I did enough volume that the average mortgage broker in Canada is probably doing in my first year, which I'm definitely pleased with. They say, you know, the first 6 months, you're probably not going to close a deal when you first enter the business. Luckily, that wasn't something that happened to me because this was my full-time job. I went into it and I had no paycheck guaranteed at all. So January 1st, when I started, I had to go out and find business somehow, or I wasn't going to pay rent. I wasn't going to pay my bills.
Right. So what were really the activities? Not, yeah, a lot of people, but the thing is, a lot of people are in that kind of do or die situation, but they don't actually do the activity. So what were the activities that you found were the most useful for building, getting referrals?
Mm-hmm. So when I first started, I booked probably 30, 35 realtor coffees, and they actually were not as effective as I would have thought, because I would have a coffee with the realtor and I was so upfront with, here's the sales pitch. We have the best rates. You're going to get quick service with me. You know, can I talk to your clients? So I was coming off too salesy at the beginning and wasn't building long-term relationships with these realtors. So after a few months, I started to take a different approach and instead became the realtor's friends. And I think that's what anyone that's an extension of your sales force or you're an extension of theirs, they want a friend, somebody that they trust. They can go to another broker and get a great rate, right? But it's how you stand out as an individual. And so I've been trying to position that more with my referral partners to build a stronger relationship.
Okay, so these 35 meetings that you did, how did you get the meetings? Like, what did you do to get them to like, hey, I'm Lyndon. Let's, you know, I just met you, we should meet, or what did you have a plan for that?
I created a list of, and I think every person that's entering the business, especially if you're younger and you haven't been in the broker space like myself, I created a list of people that I knew who are realtors, accountants, financial advisors, the ones that I already knew I would contact. And then the other ones I would start sending video messages to over social media. Or if I saw them after an event, probably 5 minutes after I left the event, I would send these people a message. And they're like, wow, you texted me quick. We just met. Most people, when they get a business card, they go home, they throw it out. I sit down at home and I go through all those business cards and I send each person a text. Great to meet you. So I did that. But I also, in January of last year, when I first started, I went through my contacts and I called every single person in my phone and said, hey, it's Lyndon. We may have, spoken a few years ago. I just entered the mortgage business. Hope you're doing well. Please keep me top of mind. And I just went indirectly with that. I wasn't too pushy, but I told my story.
Did you get any business from those calls? Any of the mortgages you closed from those?
You know what? I haven't tracked the calls, but I would say maybe 10-15%.
And how many contacts on your phone that you did let you called? How many people
I'd say
about?
Probably about 300.
And how long did it take you to make all the calls? Did you drag this out over? I already know what your answers are going to be. I'm asking this for the benefit of people that are, I think I know what your answer is going to be. So how long did it take you to make your 300 calls?
I'd say 2 weeks to get everything done.
And if you left a voicemail, how many of them went to voicemail approximately versus actually picked up?
I'd say probably 50%. Like it was not every person and picked up. They're probably like,
people,
why is Lyndon
calling? Did some people call you back? I'm sure some people call you back. Some people didn't, right?
Yes. Yeah. I made sure to say, hey, it's Lyndon. Can you give me a call back when you get a second? Not, hey, it's Lyndon. I'd entered the mortgage business. Hope we can connect, because they're not going to call you back. They know why you're calling you. So less on voicemail is better.
Yeah. Absolutely. The less you send voicemail. So the voicemails were not specific, but when you got them on a phone call, it would just be like, hey, Scott, long time no chat. We were in university together or whatever. And then you just transition into, hey, just let you know I'm in the mortgage business kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Catch up with these people. Some I haven't talked to since high school, and they're like, why is Lyndon calling me? it's completely
right. I mean,
random,
some of these
right?
people are also young too, right? So like we're talking some of these people are in their, like, as you're in your 20s. So what was that conversation like if you're calling other people in their 20s and they're like, dude, I'm not buying. Did anybody say that to you? Like, I can't, because of their age or.
100%. It was more of, when you're ready, keep me top of mind. And from, this point on, we follow each other on social media and, hopefully they see my post and they give me a call when they're ready.
Right. Okay. You touched on something you did at the networking events, which I think is clever. So tell me about how many networking events would you go to when you got started? And then you would actually send messages. Like you said, most people grab the business cards and chuck them in a drawer and never use them. So like, walk me through that, what you did there.
Yeah. Probably 2-3 a month. So when in the Windsor Essex area, there's about 7 or 8 municipalities. So there's plenty to go to. It's a big area. So go to those, send out those messages, but I'd also add those emails to our newsletter and to our CRM, because they've provided that contact information. They've given me consent, and now it's continuing to drip on them for the next few years.
Right. And then, if I'm at a networking event with you, is it just like normal meeting people? Nice to meet you. What do you do? Here's your card. Like, do you have any kind of a plan for that?
I think it has to happen organically. I wasn't just going to one person, have a 5-minute conversation, then you hop to the next. People can tell you're not being sincere. So, having a drink at the bar, grabbing some food, and you just bump into people casually. I haven't been to as many networking events recently, but for somebody starting out in the business and you don't have a Rolodex for people, go to a networking event, sign up with the local charity and tell your story.
Right. And then the video message, what did you do there? So you leave these events, are you talking, you just record a personalized video? Hey, it was great to meet you at the bar. you know, you're pretty drunk. I don't know if you needed that 12th shot. I'm just kidding. But like, and send it off to them. So then, cause you're right. You would stand out because most people say like that alone is a little, it's a little micro like thing that people should think about, I think.
Yes. Yes. Video message, voice memo. It worked, right? I haven't seen a direct lead come from it, but at least they remember me, right? That's right. The most important.
And then, so what were the other activities that you think were helpful for you to get your business going so quickly?
One thing I'd recommend, and I tell some of the newer agents that join our team, is go onto your Facebook and message every single person that is friends with you and ask them when they're up for renewal. And if they don't have a mortgage, that if they have anyone in their network to reach out and that you'll be there to help. But all of a sudden, I started to collect this database of people that were up for renewal on 120 days before. I'll reach out and I'll quote them a rate.
Right.
So I found that really helpful.
So you did that as well. So another thing, phone everybody in your chat. I'm going to do a quick recap. Phone everybody in your phone. You went to networking events a couple times a month just to get the word out there.
Yeah.
You messaged everybody on your social about, hey, if you have a mortgage, let me know. What was that? What did you say? What's the question? So like, was it just like, what? How would you have worded that?
Yeah, let me, I can actually pull it up here.
And then how many people, do you have any idea of how many people actually gave you their information from doing that question?
I've probably messaged 200 people, let's say 30 actually sent back a date. Most people would say, hey, you know, I'm mortgage free or I'm renting. And, but I have this script that I've been using, and it starts off with, hi, hope all is well. As you might know, I'm a mortgage agent with X company. I'm reaching out to see when your mortgage, if you have one, is up for renewal. Closer to your renewal date, I would appreciate the opportunity to quote you my best rate and help you save money. If you need a pre-approval, I can also assist. And then based on what their response is, I would write back accordingly.
Right. Okay. That's a great, that's a fantastic script. So what other things did you find were helpful for building your business?
I would say lunch and learns. So inviting, I've hosted probably 10, 15 lunch and learns in about a year with realtors, financial advisors. I'm trying to get into the automotive area as well, like car sales people. But I would provide free lunch and a quick seminar on what we do and how we can leverage each other's knowledge and books of business.
Mm-hmm. And so have you got business? Have you found that has generated business for you?
Yes. Yes, it has.
Right, because they get to actually see you. They see you. They see that you know what you're talking about. I mean, you're a good communicator. So that helps if you're willing to, some people don't want to get up in front of people. So then, you know, you're like, you started a podcast because you wanted to keep your communication skills up. So I've no doubt that you've no problem getting in front of people to talk, right?
Yeah. And I mean, the presentation, I kept it very brief. It's probably a max of 10 minutes. And the rest of it is I'm sitting down at our lunch table and we're sharing pasta together. They want to get to know you as a person. Unless most realtors, their brokerage that they're with is already teaching them about the mortgage approval process. I don't have to. A lot of it's repeat information. But what I found they've had more appetite for was walking them through what our back end looks like. So we use Velocity. I believe you might use Finmo. But I would show them, I would create a dummy application on Velocity and go step by step exactly what we're doing. And it allowed them as real referral partners to know what types of questions can they be asking their clients so that they're not wasting their time. Right. So I would talk about, just ask your client organically if they have children. Oh, what age are they? And then they know, okay, that's child tax benefit we can use, right?
Right.
They're getting more qualified leads and they're asking the right questions.
Right, right. That's clever. Yeah. So I always talk about in sales, show, don't tell whenever possible. Just be like, if you can show somebody that's like, oh, okay, I can understand it. So you've been on the town council now. What kind of time commitment is that? And how has that helped your mortgage business? So people listening, hey, go get on your town council if you can. I mean, that's not an easy thing to do. But yeah, what have you found for that?
I would say probably 5 to 10 hours. It all depends on the week. We have biweekly council meetings, which are from 4 to 10 at night. And that's why I didn't become a realtor, is I can't be showing houses between 4 and 10, or right. sit on a few, I chair our audit and finance committee, and there's so many extra things that happen. So I work around that. I always have to make sure that those two roles are completely separate from a conflict of interest standpoint. I would say, you know, maybe my position in the community is helping leverage my brand and being on the news and, just people seeing my name would help. But, most of the deals that I'm doing are actually in a city outside of where I live. So,
right. So where's most of the deals coming from? Windsor?
Windsor, LaSalle, and Leamington, surprisingly.
Right. That's cool. And then, so is there anything else that you did that you think was really helpful for getting your business going, or that, because I really got into the weeds a little bit of like just some of the specifics, but that you found to be helpful. And then that's my first question. I mean, follow-up questions are going to be, what are you doing consistently now? Is it, you know, has it changed? So
it's social media, I would add, would be another one. Most realtors, mortgage brokers, when they enter the business, you'll see an influx of Instagram posts for a few weeks, and then it'll die off. I've been posting educational videos, but the collaboration tool on social media is huge. I did a video on a development in the Windsor Essex area over the weekend, and I collaborated with another real estate team, and that video has close to 20,000 views across all platforms. So their audience is seeing what I'm posting, and right. I go through every person that likes the video that I collaborated on. I give them a follow. Right. They already know who I am. They watch the video, or at least they've seen my tag.
Right.
But I think social media is huge, and not just posting standard graphics of here's the rates of the day. It's adding value that's also consumable to somebody on social media.
What do you mean by that?
Like GDS, TDS, the average resident doesn't care about that, nor do they really understand it.
I agree.
It's making it consumable. Okay, here's a house. Here's what the mortgage payment would be if I got that house, and making a video about it. Or here's what closing costs could look like to you, and not going too much into the weeds of things, because it'll scare people away, and they're less likely to actually engage with you. So it's having a mix of a personality on social media, but also being educational.
Right. How frequently do you post?
I try to post every day. It's tough unless you have a full-time social media person or part-time working for you. I'll be honest. Yeah. It's difficult to post every day, to come up with the video, to edit the video. All my social media I do on my own. I would say 3 to 4 times a week is a good number.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I got somebody helping with mine, or I'd never do it, because it's like I can record it, but then to edit it and like all that stuff takes so long. Okay, so that's amazing, man. So it sounds like you've been having some great success. So if you don't mind me asking, how many mortgages did you do in that first 12 months?
First 12 months, I did about 35.
35. That's a fantastic
start. That's
from a cold start.
Yeah, I think it is. I believe it might have been 12 or 15 million.
Yeah. Depends on this mortgage size. I mean, if you're Windsor's probably a little smaller than somewhere in Toronto, but.
The average loan's about $300,000 to $400,000.
Right. Compared to like some of the other markets. And is there anything else that you think, like, that if somebody was like trying to get their business going, that you'd recommend they do?
Yes. I think if you're entering the business, you've never been in the mortgage space, you weren't a specialist at a bank, is right when you get your license, start advertising. Even if you don't even know how to underwrite a file, start pushing content out there, start marketing yourself. Because once you get that deal in, if you're with a supportive team, they're going to help coach you and help you structure the deal. And that's what our broker told me, is you have a name out there, start pushing it. Once we get the business in, I'll be here every step of the way to help walk you through the deal.
Right. Yeah. And that's the key. So,
don't be gun shy.
People the same thing. Yeah. You got to get like, and you can't learn it without, it's like learning how to drive a car, but not getting behind the wheel. It's like, well, you got to get the leads to work on them, because reading policy and broker kits is not going to make you a good underwriter. You actually got to see the files, right?
So, yes. Yeah.
I totally agree with you on that. That's a completely, okay. So then, so what's next? What are you trying to do this year? What's your vision or plan for this year?
I'd like to hit 20 million. I think that's a healthy number, 50 funded deals. And, I really want to, once I'm at a position where I can afford to do so, is to have a fulfillment specialist, underneath me that I can, once we get the deal approved and I've underwritten the deal, I can send it all and she can process the documents, and then I can focus on growth and new business. Eventually having that underwriter. But the ultimate goal for me is to have my own team, of agents that work under me and that I work with. And, maybe a brokerage is something that I entertain in the future, but I need to see that steady growth before I go and do that.
Right. I can tell you from somebody who started a brokerage that it's, unless you scale it pretty big, you make more money producing. Like once you get
by yourself,
by yourself. But I mean, but that doesn't mean people can still make sense. You may want to do it for different reasons than from just revenue. And the fulfillment specialist, you started getting to 4 to 5 loans a month, the amount of time you spend chasing documents and getting stuff signed. And like it's, that's where the quickest way to go to 10 files a month is to get fulfillment, get some kind of support on that piece of it.
Yeah. The goal is a commitment a day. That would be, I think, pretty good.
Yeah, that's good. And then, so what are your, any other aspirations for in politics, or like, am I going to see you as like the mayor of Toronto someday? Be like, I know that guy back when he was like council in, Amherstburg.
I'll give you the political answer that everyone says. I'm focused on this term and we'll see where things are in 2026.
That's so funny.
But honestly though, I'm 23. I don't know where I'll be at when I'm 26. I could have kids and it's tough to manage, or my business could be taking off where I'm at where, hey, I don't want to let off the pedal of my mortgage business. And I go that route. Right. So,
right.
And being a part-time counselor in Amherstburg and having a full-time business on, as well, it's manageable, right? Once you go into provincial or federal level, those are full-time jobs. And in the mortgage business, I would be forfeiting that.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to do both. And it would, and I can imagine if you're already doing well at this, you would make more money doing this, if you want to support your family and stuff, than you would in a lot of those positions are not super high paying. So
no,
just that as well. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So anybody listening to this, if they want to find you, where can they find you?
LyndonCrane.com, or they can check out coffeewithcraner.com for all of my podcast episodes. And if you just search Lyndon Crane on social media, you should be able to find me on all platforms.
Coffee with Craner. I love it. That's a great name. I don't have one that I could come up with that would, it doesn't work, talk with Scott, I guess, but somebody has that.
Yeah.
Cool, man. Well, great to meet you, Lyndon. Thanks for sharing your story. And, if anybody's listening, they want to chat with you, reach out. I think it's impressive what you've done in such a short period of time, as well as, you're doing the whole thing. It's crazy. So good for you.
Thank you, Scott. Really appreciate you having me on.
Hey, thanks again for listening. And hopefully you're inspired by my conversation with Lyndon. It's pretty easy to see why the guy has had such success. And it's going to be cool to see what he does in the coming years with his mortgage business if he doesn't decide to go into politics or some other thing. So when we talked, he's got this podcast where it's really just about networking with really influential, high value, high target people in his area. But he's not specifically getting mortgages from it yet. I think he will for sure. He's playing the long game with this. But I said to him, two things I would do with this. One, I would put the podcast on a platform that allows me to insert dynamic ads. And so what that means is that even on these podcasts, let's say he's got this podcast that he's running and he goes and he talks to this really super interesting, well-connected person. That person may not be doing mortgages with him, but people are going to listen to it. At the beginning and end of that podcast, he can drop in an ad if he's doing something like a first-time buyer seminar. Hey, I'm doing a first-time buyer seminar on insert the date. go here to sign up for it. So anybody listening will be like, oh, cool. And if you use the right type of software, you can, if next month you're doing something different, you can just switch it up. So it's not like it's there forever. If you record it, like, you know, this section of my podcast is there forever, but the dynamic ad insertion, you could change all the time. And so this is something I told them, you know, I use Podbean, but you can use a lot of different platforms, I'm sure now, that can do this insert or dynamic ad. So your whole podcast can be all about your guests and about them. At the end of it, you could say something like, hey, thanks for listening to this podcast. I'm your host, Scott Peckford. I'm also a mortgage broker. And then go into your thing and say, hey, this is something that we're doing this month. And then people will be like, oh, cool. Because they'll start to like you and trust you because of your podcast, but they may not draw the connection that you're actually a mortgage guy, especially if your podcast is not real estate or mortgage related and you're not talking about that. And often a good podcast host shouldn't be talking a lot. Like you should actually be asking, it should be about the guest, not about you. So at least that's what I believe. Now, so that's what I would do. That's the first thing I would do. The second thing I would do is I would try to build a list with that as well. So that I would make sure that I have whatever the podcast platform that I'm using is, I would do some call to actions to get people to go on a list. A webinar is a great way for people to go to your list. So that's what I would do. Hope you enjoyed that. This show, if you don't have a podcast, start one. It's an awesome way to build your network. Thanks again, Lyndon, for chatting with me. And I will see you on the next show. As I always say, there's no problem in your mortgage business that someone else hasn't already solved. Your challenge is like, who's got the answer that I need on the test? Once you find it, execute on it, and you'll have a fantastic business. Make it an awesome day. And I will see you on the next episode.